In this week's episode of Human Connection, I talk with Anna, who shares an incredibly personal and touching story about her upbringing. It reminded me a bit of Disney's Cinderella or of Roald Dahl's Matilda, but somehow worse. As the third-born daughter in a family that desperately wanted a boy, she has had to hear her entire life about how she is unwanted and how she is seen as the extra child. She was treated just so incredibly cruel by her mom and by her siblings. I think her story is really important, and Anna herself mentioned that she wanted to share this because she hopes she can help and inspire some of you out there who might feel stuck in a toxic family situation yourself. Or if you know someone who you think could benefit from hearing Anna's stories, please share it with them. Now, let's get into the episode.
I was born in a family, a Montenegro family, and they're like a Sicilian. They are, you know, authoritative. So the main figure in the family is father, and everyone has to listen to him. And you know what is authoritative family. So we have to be what's said, etc. So my mother, she was a very, very big pregnant woman. And I was born in 1969. So actually, it was not a custom that a pregnant woman goes to ultrasound. So she didn't know that she's waiting twins. She's actually very, very strong. She was riding a bicycle, even though she had a very big stomach, till the 8 months of the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And then when she delivered me first, I was first born, she got in kind of a shock. So they gave her oxygen. And when 15 minutes later my brother was born, they gave her oxygen again, but this time because she was so happy that he is born. And while the emotion when she realized that I'm the girl number 3, she was so disappointed. Again, she didn't expect twins, so she didn't know that my brother would come. And for her, it was big disappointment. So that was my starter in this world. I was a big disappointment for my mother.
Yeah.
And I think now that as a baby, I felt it. Actually, I don't have a proof, but I think somewhere deep in mind, in my subconscious, it was written, I was not welcome. I know because of my reactions when I feel some people that they express the feeling that I am welcome on some party or whatever. I feel such a big joy and I'm high in my emotions for 2 days. I cannot lower down. So that's the beginning. So what was wrong? Maybe it was not such a big story. It would not be such a big story, but for the fact that they started talking about it so many times. So when I was a little girl playing in my living room and my mother was receiving her friends and guests, they used to talk again and again and again, like some super anecdote, how I was born and she almost fainted. And when my brother was born, she almost fainted. And how it included that he was welcomed and I was not welcomed. And there are some anecdotes because I have two sisters, and their job in one moment was to keep an eye on babies. So my sister, she saw other kids playing in the ground in front of the house, and she thought, if I push this trolley so strong, they will sleep for a long time. And actually we fell out of the trolley. And then again they talked how my aunt, she was searching for a boy to pick him up. And it was like this every day. And so all my life I was a rebellant. I was against the family rules. I was against the family laws. So I was actually black sheep in my family. And I felt like I'm leading some war against them, and I never knew why. But from this distance, I can explain some of my crazy decisions which I brought when I was in my 20s. So I was acting like wildly uncontrolled, and I didn't want to be the part of their team because I was hearing all these stories when I was young. And it entered my subconscious, actually. But for the long time, a long period of time, I thought I was the problem only, and I was acting like a rock star in the family, and they were all like obedient and acting like they are following some rules. But then suddenly I realized maybe 10 years ago that the problem was not only me, the problem was also my brother and my sisters, because they were the guys who were listening to the story that I was one extra. So actually, when I was all my childhood, I was listening the story that they had prepared name for my brother. So he got his name on the birth. And for 2 months, they didn't know how to name me. They didn't know what was my name. And so they actually called me extra. It was all the time said on a dinner parties, on a birthday parties, on occasions when our family was gathering together and friends of my father and mother. And it was like all the time they expected from me to just say, yeah, oh, it's such a great story, ha, ha, ha. So actually they asked me to join the club and to actually lay on the fact that I was called extra, and that's funny. Do you understand what is my position? So I was in position to be under the burden and to laugh and to be under the pressure and to accept the pressure, to be I was not in a good mood all my life. When I was a little, I was rejecting food so much that my mother really had a problem feeding me. So my early memories was that my neighbor was feeding me. She was so fed up with me. I didn't want to eat. So I think that that's all psychologically connected with that.
Yeah, so if I understand correctly, indeed, so you have two older sisters.
Yes.
And then when you were born, because according to at least your parents or like the family traditions, they really wanted a boy.
Yes.
So your mother was so shocked that she almost fainted in the hospital.
Yeah.
And then because they didn't have like a scan before, they were even more surprised that a boy came afterwards.
Yes.
And then your whole childhood, you've been hearing this story and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so, actually, so many stories. I think most of the stories were even invented. For example, one of the stories was my father was sitting in the living room drinking a brandy and waiting for the call from hospital. So someone called and said, "You got a girl." So he sat on his motorbike and he went very fast on the road and on the border between our state and in others, you have to show passport. And so they stopped him and he said, "Don't stop me, I'm not in a good mood," something like that. And they say, "Oh, you fool, you got a son too." And he said, "Oh, you're fucking me." He said, no, you have twins." And then he returned to the town in which we were born and stuff like that. So all the people in our surrounding was making very good jokes about it. So and when I was little, sometimes I would laugh because, you know, you laugh when the people are in a good mood. But sometimes when I was not okay, and, you know, you go through a teenage period, you have to pass this puberty period and a lot of mixed up emotions and a lot of bad thoughts and bad emotions. And when I found myself in these bad emotions, I was really on a bad place because all these stories, they come to me. So instead of feeling that I am worth living and that I'm a person worth talking to or, I don't know, being in a relationship to, I was feeling worthless. Even though, for example, in my school, I was a very good student, so I was with all A's. Without any extra effort, I was very good in all subjects. Even now, I'm good. I mean, I'm teaching, I'm a professor. And I'm good in my mental... I don't know how to explain. I have this very good... They say processes. I'm quickly to understand. I'm quick in thinking. I'm my brain is working really good, but my emotions are a mess. I mean, I'm going to therapy, and I'm really first time in my life I'm attacking the right point. So I started my new therapy with my therapist with this story. I want to feel happy because I am alive. And when I was a little and I was playing, I have friends in my school and they love me. I love them, blah, blah. And me, when it's a period when you can play in the schoolyard, I was usually with them having great fun. But most of the times I was watching other kids and asking, how come they're so happy? And that was the question when I was first grade, second grade, third grade. I was so confused with little girls who were happy all the time. That was a big question for me. So mathematical problems, physics problems, biology, no problem. I mean, I got some really good stories from my main subject, language. I got rewards for my work. But the answer, how come they're so happy? I never understood. So I was feeling really odd in the surroundings where other people are happy. And other kids are happy. And even now, I noticed on the photos, when I see me, I saw my eyes are going down, you know, from the side. And they look like tears, not like eyes. Because I really, and then I started to realizing through the photos that I have issues with my emotions, that I cannot give myself permission to feel that I am, that it's good that I am alive and that I have rights. Because I don't feel it. I simply don't feel that point. There's a lot of the stories also about broken connection with my brother and my sisters. At the end, they ended up being really good friends. They hear each other, they support each other. But I'm out of that company. They all the time, they are sort of very heavy, judging me about my decisions in life. And I think that's all connected with those stories from the childhood. Can you believe you are little and you're growing up where your parents are all the time making fun of your sister and they're telling to every neighbor, friend and relative that comes into our place on a dinner how I was extra. How I was not supposed to be born. They didn't plan me to be born. And so it's really heavy burden to live with. It was really, really very hard when I was a student and when I was young. Now I can, you know, by the time I learned how to live with myself, it's like you have a high pressure and then you know you can recognize when it's low and when it's top high, because you know sometimes high pressure goes into low pressure. You take medicaments or you sit down and calm down. So I know to handle my feelings and I know to be a normal part of the society. I'm working and you would never tell that I'm carrying such a big pain inside of me. I act normally in the presence of other people. When I'm in my school or when I'm with my colleagues or when I'm with my friends, I'm not talking about my problems. Deep down, I know that I have these issues. So that was maybe the reason why I wanted to talk about it. I don't know if you can hear me well. Maybe I should do something with my sound. Can you hear me well?
I can hear you pretty well, yeah.
Good. Yeah. Okay. So that's the beginning of the story. Mm. And unfortunately, my father passed away when I was 13. And he was, in one moment, he started to protect me because my brother and my sisters, they were so against me and they were bullying me since I was little. Mm. And he started being on my side. I don't know, maybe that's an instinct of a father, or maybe he's just such a person that he's always standing for the person that is attacked, you know, protecting the. So sometimes he would see what's going on, and sometimes they would be punished for their acting. But most of the time he would not see, of course, you know, children are playing 24 hours and parents are here. Parents are going to the job, and then a lot of things happen which they don't see. Mm. But the moment when he passed away, I was actually left alone. So it was the worst nightmare.
Mm. Yeah, I'm really sorry to hear, Anna, that...
It's really terrible.
Yeah, you've been treated so badly by your family.
I cannot believe, but all the time they were acting like they are normal and I'm not normal. They're pushing me into that corner that something is wrong with me. And I was feeling that I should just grow up and go away from that house. And everything will be okay. And actually it happened. When I grew up, I was a very good student, electronic engineering, but I cut my studies and I just left the house.
Mm.
So, but what was really terrible is how they played this double game. So because I was a good student all my life and I was like a star of the family. So now when relatives and friends come, they would always say, oh, we have very, very good student here. She's so good. She's going to be the best, blah, blah. And when the doors are closed, they were again humiliating me and acting to me like second person, not the same quality, same kind of a person like my brother is. So, for example, normal day, I come to my mother and I said, I'm going out, please give me some money, you know, in a teenage period. And she says, no, I don't have money. So 1 hour later, my brother comes and he says, I'm going out, and she's giving him money. So, or for example, if I say I'm hungry, she doesn't react. So, and if he says I'm hungry, she's jumping, she's preparing the dinner. It was so obvious, and no one was telling me, yes, you're right, you have some problems, because really, this is happening. They were all the time trying to pull me out into their vision and to tell me, no, you're over-exaggerating. We are a normal family, everything is normal with us.
Mm.
But this is not normal. It's not normal how they treated me and him. So that's a wound that still is on in my life. But no, I learned to live with my problems, and I'm okay. I don't know when it started. Maybe I forgot to say I forgive to everyone. I'm not mad at anyone, but I still have issues. For example, when I'm talking about this, you know, tears come.
Yeah.
I cannot just like that overcome all these issues, because it was going on for a long period of time. And in a moment when I was in sensitive years, I didn't have best friend. I didn't have like a father or someone that could be on my side.
Mm.
So actually, it was really tough.
Yeah.
And later on, I started to understand some of my really crazy movements. For example, when I left my studies, it was like I just turned and I said I will never come here again. that's not normal because I was studying really very, very hard. It was really hard university. You had to really work long hours every day. So usually I was watching people, going to parties, having fun, and I was all the time sitting in my house studying. Mm. And when I entered the third year of my university, and I show my mother, and I expected at least that she's happy. She was not happy because her golden boy, my brother, was not into university, and it was like she thought that I'm doing this in purpose to my success on university was badly light on the incapability of my brother to study anything. He just finished high school. So whatever, whenever I have my exams and I was serious about it, she was not happy.
Mm.
I don't know, am I clear enough? And maybe I'm talking in confusion, but that's that was the atmosphere. Like, she was not happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, no matter what you did, it was never good enough. Because as you mentioned, even if you did really well, then they would say, don't be,
Not only that, she thought, it's hard to explain. She thought that I'm a purposely good student because my brother was a bad student.
Mm.
So she was actually accusing me that I'm a bad sister. Mm. I was supposed to be failure as a student because in that light she could say, oh, the twins, they're not good in school.
Mm.
But in the light of me being a good student, she has to say to her relatives, friends, blah, blah, she has to explain why my brother is not a good student.
Yeah. You're making your brother look bad by doing so well.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Mm. So, and the point is, now, of course, I went to years and years of therapy to try to understand myself. And then in one moment, when I went over my heavy feelings and problems, I realized he was not happy also. I mean, he got his golden attention, he got his golden position, he was always having possibilities that I wouldn't have. So he was traveling, there is always coverage for him, he was heavy drinker, he got into drugs, and he was a heavy drug user. And still, I was trying to save him, and I was not talking to anybody what is happening, what he's doing. Because, we were close. We were in the same company. Our friends were joined, We were going to the same classroom for 12 years. And when I said first time to my mother that he's in a problem, that it's not only alcohol, because she saw that he's a heavy user of a party and drinks. And then I explained to him that there is more to it. And he's starting using drugs. She was telling me, no, you're jealous. That's not true.
Mm.
Blah, blah, blah. And so I was again, on a guilty page of the street. Mm. I was always guilty for something. If I'm good in a school, I'm guilty. If I'm, I was in a kind of a war. I was rebellion. I was standing up for my rights and more. But it was just the talking deep inside of me. I was just simply hurt as a child. Very big emotional problems. But, they always had to fight with my sense of rightness. So they were kind of having fear for me. So by the time I made the big dissociation from them. So I started being more individual and more doing my stuff,
mm-hmm.
not paying attention. I simply realized we are different. So they were chasing something that I didn't like. I was, the stuff that was important to me was not important to them. They were thinking I'm a fool, blah, blah. But it was really heavy to realize that my brother is in such a big problems and that my mother can always see that he is still very good in her eyes, and that I'm a bad again.
Mm.
But I continued. I think I saved his life a few times. He was really, it was a terrible time. Our country was in a war. We first lived in Montenegro. It was a beautiful place on a seaside. But then we moved to the center of the city, and big town, a lot of people, different schools. So we separated slowly, and it was easier and easier. And for the time being, we are not in communication. I mean, my brother and sisters, they are good. But they discharged me from their company. They were all, still now, they're all the time putting the guilt on me, like, whatever I do, it's something wrong. Like, I don't understand what they're doing.
Mm.
So I'm isolated. And it's a terrible feeling. I have family and I don't have family.
Yeah.
So they have family. They are family to each other, but they simply put a cross on me. I don't know how to explain that.
Mm.
So I'm unwanted in their company. For me, it's a kind of a relief because I really tried so hard. So many times I tried to be good with them. Then I realized it's never going to happen. Mm. So now I found my peace. I'm okay with it. And so they never saw my kids when they were little. They don't care about, is their birthday, do they have a birthday or no? So I think that's really not fair. They're not acting nicely. And I wonder if there is like, am I in a similar situation? Like, is this happening all around the world? That families are first strongly together and then they separate, like when they grew up and they never met. That's something that I really, really don't like.
Mm.
We were taught when we were little that relatives and friends and family, it's very important as a values. I'm telling you all the time, a lot of friends and family, they were coming to our place, and my mother and father, and you know, they were making these jokes about me, how I was born, and about my being an extra story. But when we grew up, my sister, she went to another country. My brother, he went to another country. But because I was a successful student, they asked me, oh, where would we go to live, this here or there? I said, no, I'm not going anywhere. So I will stay here. So I stayed. And this brought a separation. I mean, physical separation. They live in another countries, but still, they think that my choice of a husband and my way of living is something that they disagree and disapprove, and so they punished me by not contacting me, etc., etc.
Mm.
I mean, and the inheritance was divided in the favor of them. Everything was done really pretty dirty.
Mm.
But I don't care. I'm so happy that I am okay with my life now. I love my life and I love my choices.
Mm.
And if I could turn the time and go back 20, 30 years, I would just be wiser. And not letting them take everything away from me, but I'm okay with my position. I'm okay with where I am now. I'm adult. I'm good in my job. I'm professionally okay. I find satisfaction in a professional life, and I find love and sympathy in my family and with my friends, of course.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, when it's a new year or Christmas, I fall down. I fell apart because I would love them to call me just to say, you know, Happy New Year or Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I say to them, like, I don't say, we don't hear each other, just send a message on WhatsApp, telling them Merry Christmas or something like that.
Yeah.
I cannot understand how they cannot see that I'm not so guilty as they are pushing the guilt on me and giving the impression it's like I'm the biggest terrorist on this world.
Mm.
I was just fighting for me, for my rights to be okay and to be me. That was my obsession. That was 2025.
Mm.
I wanted to be that my decisions are only mine, because they were all the time influencing and putting the pressure on me to do something that they want me to do. So I don't know if it's clear, but you know, when you're a member of a family and then you want to study, I don't know, literature, and they say, no, you cannot study that. You have to study that. And they pushed me to study something else. So they were choosing with who is going to be my part. All the time they were, they thought that they have right to do whatever they feel like in my life.
Mm.
That was a big war that I was having with them. I didn't want to be. So I wanted to be with my own choices.
Yeah.
And that's the story. I don't know if I can. Oh, I'm trying to turn off the notifications on this computer.
Mm.
So I cannot remember any. I mean, there was a lot of stories that I could tell about the past, but I don't know if someone is interested. Or is this interesting at all? But that's the point. So if you have some questions, you can ask me.
Mm. Yeah, I just really want to say thank you for being so vulnerable and sharing this so openly with me. I really can't imagine how difficult it must be to, you know. It sounds like you were blamed for everything by your family members.
And you know what's really, I was in this teenage period, I was struggling to be good with them. So I was trying to listen to them and to understand what they are talking about. Oh no, all the time I was guilty for something. So my sister, I was getting beaten when I was little for my sisters, very hard, and it was all the time told like a ha 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 story. Actually, 3 months ago I went to see my sister for some occasion. It was my birthday and my brother's birthday, so once per year when we gather here together, they call me because it's a birthday. They cannot not call me. So I come there. And I'm not speaking to my sisters for a long period of time. My brother is very, very vulgar and very, you know how alcoholic people act towards women. They're hard on a if you're a woman and you're close to the alcoholic guy, he has period when he's okay, and he has this ugly period when he's insulting you. So I came, I brought a present for my brother. Of course, he didn't brought a present for me. That's normal. And then he was speaking something and in private with my friend. And I went to another room to give him some space. And my sisters, one is older 6 years and the other one is older 7 years from us. They were telling to our friends how they were beating us. So when we were little, my brother and I, and we were probably 4, 5, 6 years, I don't know, and my parents would go to the dinner and they would say to our elder sister, take care of the kids, like, you know, be good with them, give them to eat, put them to sleep. That's like kind of a babysitting that's normal, you know, when you have older sister, like take care of them. And then it's completely childish, I understand, and I don't, I'm not angry, but this is sick. So they would beat us, you know, they would put the, how do you say when you hit someone in the face, slap us in the face,
mm-hmm.
and our cheeks would be red from how much they did it. I mean, it's a childish game for them, but for my brother and me, it was a terror. And then, because my father and my mother would come back from dinner, and they would see our cheeks, and they would be beaten up. So they would tell me and my brother, "This is a cream. Now put the cream over your cheeks so that no one sees that we were beating you." And so, okay, I understand this is happening. They were in a teenage period. They were maybe even joking with us. They beat us. Okay. But why are you talking about this? 30 years later, in front of our friends, and then you are laughing. And, you know, they presented this story like a funny story. And I was in, you know, if I had all the liberty in that moment, I would just take the table and crash all the drinks that were on the table and said that this is not funny. For God's sake, this is not funny. You're talking about me being little and beaten up.
Mm.
And then I have to cover my face with a cream so that I could not say to my father what happened. That's not something that's funny. So actually it involves the fact that they become sadist a little bit. Because they were telling the friends, our friends, who gathered together to celebrate our birthday, they were telling them, you know, stories in which I again have to say, "Oh, haha, this is so fun. I was beaten up. I was little, and they clapped my face 10 times or 20 times. Then I had to cover so that my." And then they will say, "If you tell mother or father, we will kill you." You know, so they gave us this strong instructions not to tell to anyone. Okay, it's easier when I'm talking about it. So it's easier when I say, and because what I'm obsessed with stories about narcissists. And when I hear these stories, I realized that the worst thing and the worst nightmare for narcissists, there is some noise, I don't know how, maybe, is when you uncover the narcissist. So whenever I'm keeping silent, I'm covering their actions. And this talking about what happened is act of liberation for me. I don't know, am I clear enough about this? I think if everyone would be having a strength to speak about, that would be kind of me growing up and narcissist going down.
I really hope that indeed at least someone will listen to this, maybe in a similar situation that you were in, and realize, hey, I'm not a crazy one. I'm just in a extremely dysfunctional family.
Yeah. Well, my advice to everyone who is in a dysfunctional family is just to take your piece together and get out of there somehow, slowly or quickly or however you know. Just change the place, change the apartment, go to another city. Cut the connection. That's what I did. I cut the connection, and I started feeling better by not knowing what do they do, where are they, what's their goal in their life, and without giving them information about my life. So they were in shock when I delivered first child because they didn't know that I'm pregnant. So I really cut everything, because whatever I say to them, like, you know, when you're telling the stories to your friend or family, you're expecting to be honored that your story is valid. I didn't get validation. And usually this story, which I tell them, would come back as a boomerang to me, but with a negative effect. I don't know if this happens to you or someone. So no information. First law of how do you build your life is cut the connection. Don't feed them with informations. Because that's how they kind of, they were literally mocking to me and my success in my university. They were saying, you are an engineer. No, that's not possible. You're stupid. How many times my brother was calling me cow? How many times he told me that I'm stupid, that I don't understand anything? And I was so intelligent that my professors were blowing up. And even now, in my colleagues and, I know who am I, because my mirrors for me are not my family, but the other people, the people that I meet on my job. So that's how actually it's like, I don't know if you know this film with the brilliant mind about the professor in Australia who has mental issues. Mm-hmm. And he was seeing some like secret agents and some little girl. And one day he got, he says to his wife, now I realized that they are not real. And she says, how do you know? Because the girl is always 9 years old. And the hallucinations that he has, they were lasting for a few years. And that's how I started to realize that my family picture about me is not good and not valid, because wherever I go, which job I took, the people loved me. And I got into good friendship and I got, people standing for me and they love me. And I have good friends. And then I realized that it's not me who is the problem, but the mirrors that I have in my family, where they're all the time just telling me, you're guilty, you're stupid, you're not worth, blah, blah. Mm. So that's how I become, turning my rational brain and explaining to myself that probably I am a good person because people are, which I'm surrounded by, are a good person, and that I'm valid at my job.
Mm.
Okay, our time is close to an end, I see. Maybe do you want something for the end?
Yeah, I'm just thinking because, I know children can be cruel, but it's just so surprising to me that it seems like, your sisters haven't changed. And I think, if I understand correctly, they're in their 60s. Yes. Right now.
They're still, I cannot explain to you. I was so shocked when I realized that bullies were in my family, not in my school. Mm. I mean, I had bullies in my school also, but, I solved that problem. When you see that someone is bad towards you, just change the group, you go left or right, whatever, just simply physically go away from that person. But it was a long period of time, 2 or 3 decades of my adult life when I realized that actually I had bullies and I have social problems in my house with the stories that are not correct, with them talking so badly about me. And what's funny? Okay, maybe this is for the last minute. I went to the psychotherapy and my sister, she said to me, go to this woman, she's extra, she's good, blah, blah. And so I went there. And the woman, she was an old psychotherapist. She lived in some apartment. The moment I entered the house and before I sit in the chair, and she was watching me entering the place, and she said, what's your family position? I said, I'm number 3, blah, blah. My brother, my father died when I was 13. And she said, you were in the worst position because at 13 years old girl, when she loses father, she loses the pole of her life, the stability in her life. And your brother, he was not so damaged by the death of the father because he had mother connection with mother. You lost your connection. And I said, yes, I felt really like that. And she said, and I said, my father used to love me the most because in Montenegro family, you're not allowed to spoil your man, your boy, but you can spoil girls. So he was actually good with me. And she said, and when he passed away, they took the revenge on you. They were like against you and they started like hating you. I said, how do you know? And she said, it's almost algorithm of how it happens. Like she was having a therapy with a lot of families and it happens. So that was eye opening also. So my mind opening also, that conversation which I had. Okay, I don't know, this is the end, we don't have time more. As I thought, the meeting is for 45 minutes. So
yeah, I have a few more minutes in case
we have.
Yeah,
okay, so that's it. I have a big family, I have a lot of kids, I love being a part of the family. And it's one more a reason to not understand how come that they made a story about me that I'm so bad person, blah blah blah. When I really love family, I even love them, even though I was having troubles with them in my life. And how come we are not connected even now? I think, I mean, now I don't have such a wish to see them because they are all problematic personalities. They all have a lot of problems in their life and they're heavy people. So I prefer my own friends and my own family.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear you've built a nice, loving family for yourself and a good support group.
Yes. I had really, I was lucky. I am lucky. So that's why I'm, obviously, that's why I'm so full of forgiveness, because I feel my life is in a good place now. The last thing that was done by them really hurt it. And the last thing, which why I'm not talking to them, my aunt, she didn't have kids. And she died and they didn't tell me that she was in hospital. She was in hospital for 3 weeks. And so other relative, whom I didn't hear for years, she called me. She said, do you know your aunt is in hospital? I say, I don't know. And so I went immediately to see her. I saw her. She passed away after 3 days. And on the funeral, my sister was reading a speech, you know, and she was explaining how my aunt, how she remembered when my aunt was coming to our place and that when I was little and I got, she was speaking about me in the speech. So all the relatives who gathered there, they thought, oh, what a beautiful family. You know, you understand, they're making the theater for the other people. They didn't say, we didn't call her, we didn't tell her aunt is in the hospital. They were, the speech was full of love and how they appreciate me being little. And so my sister, she remembers when my aunt was coming and how they bought me some new skirt, and she remembers that moment. I cannot believe people could be so doubled. No, one story is the real story, they didn't call me. And the second story on the funeral is like, we are a beautiful family, everything is okay. That's so funny. That's so mind-blowing.
Yeah, I guess, you know, a lot of families are messed up in some way, but honestly, I can't even imagine what it's like to be treated in such a cruel way for such a long time. I'm really sorry you had to go through that.
Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah, but and maybe that's why I have so much empathy today for teenagers.
Mm.
That's why I love to be a professor for teenagers.
Yeah.
I see their problems, I feel them. And also, you know, I have some. So I really love my job.
Mm.
Love being a teacher because that's such an active profession.
Mm. Yeah, sounds like they're very lucky to have you as a teacher.
Yes, they are. They really feel honored and special because I'm teaching them. Now everything is okay. But when I was a teenager, it was a living hell. But I survived. That's good.
Mm.
That's really good.
Yeah. You know, at times it also also had to push my tears back sometime because, as I mentioned, I just I can't imagine people have to go through that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, the terrible stories, you know, it was a lot of violence, and they were, I was obsessed when I was in my teenage with the films about Holocaust and Jewish people in Germany, and because I could not, first of all, I was obsessed to try to realize why some people are clearly angry and in ability to kill someone or to hurt someone, because that was happening in my family actually. I was hurt. They were beating me. Mm. You know, so my voice was supposed to be calmed down. Somehow I managed to survive and to stay. I stopped fighting for my rights. Yeah, you know, teenagers, they're fighting for good. They're fighting for their rights, for the truth and for the justice. So that was me.
Mm.
And I stopped doing that and I started making the plan how to leave the house. Because I realized there is no point. Whatever I say, they again shut me down somehow. Mm. So I just make a plan. I will be calm and I will go one day. And I was working on it, and that was really survival, and it was good. So today it would be much easier in these years when I'm talking, you could not find a job so easily. You could not find a room to sleep. Some, you know, today it's, everything is much easier. This country changed a lot, but in those moments it was almost impossible to live somewhere, to be on your own, to earn your money, because there was not a lot of jobs. It was not available. There was not, you know, today you have so many options. All my kind of advice is for people, your first goal in life is to save yourself from the bad influence and from the bad circumstances, and to go somewhere, live in peace, and lick your wounds, and all wounds could be treated, or you can just learn to live with them. So I learned how to live with my emotional problems, which I'm telling you, hit me when it's Christmas or New Year. I'm crying, you know, for 2 days.
Mm.
Or maybe I'm just watching, I'm binging the series on Netflix to overcome these moments of sadness.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I think life is beautiful and worth living in any sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so your blog is about the stories. You're connecting people by and asking. I mean, they're telling you stories. I didn't have opportunity to hear other people.
Yeah, I had a few people come on so far indeed to...
Beautiful idea.
Mm.
Like, tell your story. It's really beautiful.
Mm.
Bravo.
Yeah, I think your story is really special, and I really appreciate that. That you're sharing it with me.
I lived in the last century, so maybe this is maybe extreme story, because maybe you have younger viewers or listeners, but it's like I live in a moments when you don't have, when you have only one phone in the house with a wire, and that's it. We were all the time outside, having a lot of friends, and different time, different ages. Completely different generation from what's now on. And we had a big, we were a big family. My parents, they have four kids, and my brother and I, as a twins, we have a lot of friends. So, it was really interesting life. A lot of beautiful things happen also. We used to go to the basketball every day. I don't know how I got all A's when I was in my primary and high school. I was just a good student. And my our first drinking, when we wasted ourselves, we were 16. And I was telling to my brother, because I was drunk, it's you. They always loved you. It was just you. Everything is about you. And he was drunk also. And he said to me, no, everything was about you. You were all the time good student. So that was a really point. Like, what? He's not happy? That's so funny. So maybe his story would be interesting too. Maybe I was just a problem all the time in his life, because I was asking for more rights, more justice. I was a justice warrior. And it was funny when we discovered that he was jealous of me and I was jealous of him.
Yeah, it can be funny sometimes to hear someone else's perspective and how it can be so different.
Yeah,
thank you, Anna, once again. I do need to go, unfortunately, but I really yeah, enjoyed talking to you and yeah, here telling you a story and sharing it with others.
Thank you for giving me a chance to tell my story, and I would like to see the stories that will appear on your blog, or where is it? Where can I find other people telling stories?
Yeah,
on Facebook or where?
Yeah, I can send you a link later if you like. I put it on YouTube, or also like on Spotify, or like as a podcast.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I wish you I wish you well, and I wish you a lot of happiness.
Thank you very much. Maybe we'll hear each other one more time. If I have more stories, I will appear again.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.